Heavenly Father, I ask you to speak from this text to our hearts. Speak your words through me, please. I pray, Lord, that you speak and that I don't get in your way. We need you, and so we call upon you to come. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will come and that you are here and that you will speak. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 2 weeks ago, we were in Psalm 60. And David, if you remember from the Psalm, was saying, Lord, you have rejected us. Lord, you do not go out with our armies. And David and Joab and Abishai and his commanders, they were all out fighting, but they were losing. And he was saying, Lord, you haven't gone out with us. Now, the thing of that is that they actually were out there doing what they were supposed to be doing. The armies were moving here and moving there, and the men were firing their bows, and they were doing what armies do. But they're losing. Why? David says, the Lord isn't going out with us. That's what he said in the psalm. He said, that's the reason why. Now, whether Israel was not seeking God, and so he did not give victory, which happens sometimes, or whether Israel was seeking God and he wanted them to lose, which actually happens sometimes. You know, Judges 20, when we talked about that when we were in Judges a couple weeks ago. That's an example of where they actually did seek God and they lost. And so, but whichever way it is, the psalm doesn't say, but whichever way it is, God was not fighting. Now, when you go to battle, you need God. That's true of physical wars, like David and his armies out there fighting against the Edomites and the Damascus up in Syria. It's true of physical wars, but it's also true of the battles that we fight. You know, our battles are different. We're not in a physical war. And yet, you fight against yourself. You fight against your flesh. You fight against your culture sometimes. You fight against Satan himself. These are all battles we fight. And we need the Lord in these battles. Now, last week, we started the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, in the very beginning, in verses 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the book that Luke wrote before Acts, which was the book of Luke, and what it was in it. And it was all about what Jesus began to do and teach and so on. And I told you that the book of Acts is a continuation of what Jesus began to do and teach. Jesus began... The apostles now take what Jesus started and run with it. That's the book of Acts. And so we are to continue the advance of the kingdom of God that Jesus began. What that means is we go on mission. And when you go on mission, you go to battle. Mission is battle. It's hard. What that means then is when you go on mission, you need God. That's what we're going to talk about in Acts today. So I'm going to read, starting in chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses. So in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Okay, so here's the scene. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's appearing to his disciples over the course of 40 days, multiple appearances to the disciples in different ways, different places, different times, different ways, but lots of appearances to the disciples, proving to them beyond any doubt that he is risen. That's part of what Luke means there. We talked about that last week when it says he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days. So it's multiple times Jesus appeared to them. And he's teaching them during these 40 days about the kingdom of God. That's verse 3. He's speaking about the kingdom of God. We talked about this last week. What he's doing is he's getting them ready to continue the mission. That's what these 40 days are. They need to know that this man's alive, really, that he rose from the dead. And they need to know about the kingdom of God, because that's what they're going to go proclaim to people. He then says to them this. So all I've talked about now so far was last week, what we looked at. Now we're going to move on, verses 4 and 5. He basically says this: stay here in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. I sort of summarized that, verses 4 and 5. In other words, waiting is part of their preparation. He's preparing them to go, and he's saying, wait. Now, if you're going to serve God, then at some points, actually it'll probably be different times in your life, but you are going to have to wait. That's normal for God and for his people. God insists on this for a couple of reasons. One, you and I have this tendency to like to take credit for what God does. We really do. We like to say, see what I did? And waiting is a reminder that it's God who saves people, not you. That it's God who teaches people, not you. That it's God who provides needs, not you. Because if it was you, there wouldn't have been the waiting. But the waiting reminds you that it's not you. Waiting focuses you on God, at least if you wait right. Not on your methods for ministry. Lots of people have nice methods for ministry, and if that's all you got, you just have some methods. You don't have God, but you got nice methods. God wants you not focused on you or your methods. He wants you focused on Him. And because waiting focuses you on God, what it does is it actually helps bring God into what you do. Because now you're focused more on Him. Waiting puts you in a position where you allow God more sway in your life and in your ministry. Because you had to wait, you had to look to Him. Now, here in Acts, it says that the apostles are waiting for the Holy Spirit. Jesus has not yet sent the Holy Spirit out. And in the end, ministry without the Holy Spirit is not ministry. It is a waste of your time, and it is a waste of your life. If you're going to do ministry without God, why? I don't even know why. Why would you do that? Everything that you and I do on our own is worthless. But everything that the Holy Spirit does through us has power. And so when you do ministry, if it's just you doing stuff, it's nothing. But if it is God working, well now, this is what we want. That's what we want. We want God working. So God calls me to this church, or God calls me to train leaders in the Bible. You know, we talked about that. I'm praying about that, going up to Dallas, doing that. But if I leave God behind and just go train people, I'm really wasting my time if I do that. See, I want God to lead and to shepherd you guys and use me in the process, but I want Him to be the one really doing it. And I want God to be the one who trains leaders. And if God is not working, what am I doing? And whatever it is that God calls you to, I've just used me as an example, but whatever it is He calls you to, and it'd be different stuff, you want the same thing. You want God in it. You don't want to just go do stuff. And so to have God in whatever it is you do means sometimes you're just going to have to wait. Waiting has this way of reminding us that God's work is not about us. Waiting has a way of taking self out of God's work. Waiting builds patience. That's kind of obvious, right? And prayer. It builds those two things. When you wait, you ask questions like, "When, Lord?" Those are natural questions that we ask when we wait. It forces you out of your schedule and into God's schedule. And God likes that. He likes us on His schedule, not ours. And when you wait, you need to be talking with God in the process. See, waiting without prayer is not waiting. Not biblical waiting. It's not what God's desiring. And so sometimes God will have you wait because of timing issues. You know, now is not the right time. You have to wait. I'm married right now because I waited to pursue Leanne. And that's a story I'm not going to go into, but I may have shared it with you in the past. But a lot of what God was doing as I waited had to do with timing. She wasn't ready for me to pursue her when I wanted to. But I didn't know that. I just had to wait. So sometimes God has timing reasons for our waiting. But always, even if it's not timing related, always, in every case of waiting, God is building you. God uses waiting to build men and women. He doesn't want you to just do your own thing. He does want you to seek Him, and He wants you to trust Him. And waiting is one of the best ways to do that. See, we often think that God's mission is out there. He wants to use me to reach these other people. And that may be true. But that's only half true. Well, He does want you, perhaps, to reach those other people. You know, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, the nations. He also has a mission to transform you. You are God's mission. He wants you to be His man or His woman. And frankly, God wants to, you know, may want you to reach them, but He wants to reach them through you. But to use you to the utmost, He has to remake you. And as He remakes you, you will be more effective in reaching them. And that's God's method. God's method of missions is the man. He's after men and women. And so He has to build you into the man or the woman that He wants you to be. Waiting is part of that. The apostles had to wait, and so will you at some point. And so Jesus says to them, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the Spirit." This is verses 4 and 5. And they respond with verse 6. When they had come together, they asked Him, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" So Jesus says, "Stay here and wait." And they say, "Is it time to restore the kingdom now?" You know, it's just like us. Wait. Oh, is it time now? That's what they're asking. I love the Bible because it's so real. It's just such a natural reaction that they have. And then Jesus tells them this, verse 7. I'm just going to read it. "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority." In other words, it's none of your business. Is it time to restore the kingdom now? And Jesus is basically saying, it's not your business. You don't need to worry about that. But, verse 8, the first word in verse 8 is but. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so here's the flow. I just kind of want to give you the flow of verses 4 through 8. Verses 4 and 5. Wait. Verse 6. Oh, is it time now? Verse 7. That's none of your business. But you know what is your business? You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's your business. That's how this is flowing. That's how the ideas are going. And so the apostles are not to concern themselves with the times or the seasons for God's kingdom to come. That's verse 7. And neither are you. Don't take great interest in when. When will Jesus come? That's not for you to know. Jesus just said that. When you see people mapping it all out and telling you when Jesus is, you know, the second coming is going to be, and they got the dates and whatnot, when you see that kind of thing, run from it. That's not biblical. It's not godly. Have nothing to do with that kind of theology. They're concerned about the wrong things. It's not for you to know that. Now, he's coming soon, and you need to be ready. That's, you know, that's biblical. Jesus talks that way. He tells parables to that end, that you need to be ready. But when? It's not for you to know. That's not your business. But you know what is your business? Verse 8. Verse 8's your business. So let's focus on verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The apostles are to be witnesses for Jesus in all those places that he mentions. Now, those places expand. Jerusalem is a city. Judea is a region that the city of Jerusalem is in. Samaria is a region north of the region Jerusalem is in. And the ends of the earth, you know what those are. And so it's kind of like saying, you will be my witnesses in Austin and in Texas and in Oklahoma and to the ends of the earth. That's the kind of the picture, if you want to put it into here terms. Jesus is saying something like that. And they are to do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why they are to wait. But when the Spirit comes, they are to go. This is one of the things about Christians in this business of mission and waiting. You see, there are some Christians who will just go and never wait. And they miss out on what God will do because it's just them doing it, because they haven't waited on God. But then there are other Christians who are exactly the opposite. They will wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and never go. And they miss out on what God will do because they never do anything. They just sit around, and they'll use waiting as an excuse to not do anything. There are Christians on both sides of that. And those Christians who wait and wait and wait and never do anything, they're actually not waiting. Because the whole point of waiting is to get God in what you do, to have God be in you and change you and remake you so that you can then have him when you do what he calls you to do. Those Christians are just being comfortable. And that's not what God calls. God does, I'm telling you straight up, God is not calling us to comfort. He's just not. Now, Acts 1 testifies basically against both of those Christians that I just gave you. The ones who just go and they never wait, and the ones who just sit around and they don't do anything. And they never go. Acts 1 testifies against both of them because it says, wait. And then it says, you will be my witnesses all over the world. In the same text. So, guys, so let's just put, let's sort of summarize this way. There is a time for waiting. And there is a time to go. If you go when you should wait, you messed up. And if you wait when you should go, you messed up. Now, the way you're wired, because different people are wired differently, you know, and very likely you're wired in one of those two directions. You're wired more to be the kind who just, I'm just going to kind of be comfortable and wait, and or you're wired more along, I'm just going to go do it. And so that probably your wiring should give you an idea of which of those you're more probably going to be tempted to do. You're either going to be tempted to just run without God, or you're going to be tempted to just not do anything. And depending on your wiring, that's the temptation you're probably going to more face in this dynamic of going and waiting. Now, Jesus tells his disciples, wait now, but when the Spirit comes, go. Go in his power. If you're a Christian, this is you. You're to go. Waiting is temporary. And so it's not a, you know, there's a time to wait and there's a time to go. And here's the thing of it. With the apostles, they will go. You see, one of the most encouraging things about verse 8 to me is that it's not really a command. The command was to wait. Jesus does not say, receive power and go be my witnesses. He says, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, verse 8 is a promise. Jesus is saying, you'll do this. Now, it is a promise, plural. The Greek verbs there are plural you, y'all, if you, to speak it in Texan, y'all. It is a promise for the apostles corporately, and by extension, it is a promise for the church corporately. The apostles will witness about Jesus in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They will do that. Jesus is saying, you will do this. Now, in the book of Acts, Jerusalem is chapters 1 through 7. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Okay, that's chapters 1 through 7 of the book of Acts. Then they will witness about Jesus in Judea and Samaria. That's chapters 8, 9, 10, and part of chapter 11 in the book of Acts. Then they will be witnesses to the ends of the earth. That's the rest of the book of Acts, starting in the middle of chapter 11 and going to the end when Paul is in Rome. And so Acts 1:8, in a sense, is an overview of the entire book of Acts. Jesus promises they will be his witnesses in all of those places. And then the rest of the book of Acts, we see them doing that. They're going to be his witnesses in all those places. Now, everybody here, you and I, we are all beneficiaries of the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Right? If the gospel never reached the ends of the earth, nobody sitting here would know Jesus. And so, let me tell you something, guys. Acts 1:8 happened. And you sitting here are an example, or you are proof that it has gone to the ends of the earth. It happened. You wouldn't be in church now if it didn't. But Acts 1:8, while it happened, it's still happening. And we need to see that. God's people today are witnessing about Jesus in China and in Iran and in Burma and Thailand and Indonesia, in Nigeria, in Brazil, in Europe, in Afghanistan. God's people are witnessing. That's Jesus' words, you'll be my witnesses. God's people are witnessing of Jesus in all these places all around the world, every continent. This Acts 1:8 is still going on. The gospel's still going out. And the mission of the early church is still the mission of the modern church. What Jesus called them to do, he calls you and me to do. Go in the power of the Spirit and testify of Jesus. That's our job. And the promise Jesus made them still stands. You will receive the power of the Spirit, and you will be his witnesses where you live and to the ends of the earth. You will do it. So then, where are you in fulfilling this promise to the church? Do you need to wait on God for something and seek him? If so, wait. Understand, though, waiting is a temporary thing. But there's a time for it. Wait. It's necessary. Or is it time to go? In whatever that looks like for you, you know, helping the poor or teaching the scriptures or witnessing of Jesus to your family or to your friends, sharing the gospel truth to your people. I don't know what it is. It'll look different for different people, but different people play different roles. You know, the body of Christ, different parts, they do different things. Different people play different roles in witnessing of Jesus to the nations. And what's your role? And is it time to go and do that? Or do you need to wait a little bit on something? So here's the deal. The church is going to witness for Jesus, guys. Jesus promised that. They are going to do that. But are you going to be with the church or not? Where are you with the church? The church is going to do it. They'll go with you or they'll go without you. But the church is going to do it. You want to be with the church on this. You want to have his Spirit and his power, and you want to be his witnesses. That's where you need to be. That's where you want to be. Because that's where God is. And so I want, just ask Him for His grace to use you where He wants in order to testify about Him to the world. Father, I pray for Your Spirit to come and to fill us and to prepare us for the mission that You call us to. I pray, Father, that You make each of us into the man or the woman that You want us to be. And that we would, if we're on the safe side, that You would push us to do hard things for Jesus. And if we're on the go side, just do side, that You would call us more to Yourself and help us to see You more clearly and have You fill our hearts that we might do with Your power and not ours. I just pray that for my brothers and sisters, that You make us what You want us to be and then use us in the mission that You call us to. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.